Great to have you in, Alec. Great to be chatting more about how our fitness and our spiritual lives match so well together. And great to have you in.
Thanks very much, Brigitte. It's nice to be with you and the listeners.
Thank you so much for being in here in person, Alec. Let's start with the fact that we all have a battle in the mind. It's something that is not exclusive to anybody or certain people deal with it. Everybody has battles in their minds. And if we can just start from that being our starting point, and we can delve into the other aspects of today's talk.
Yeah, I think, you know, if you think about it, you've got your carnal nature, your body, your physical flesh, and your spirit, and they're having a tug of war for your mind, your soul, your will and emotions. And that goes on a daily basis. But the Lord has given us tools in order to be able to successfully overcome and fight that battle. So if you think about it, it's like going into a fight on a daily basis, and your let's just say your left arm represents your nutrition, your right arm is your exercise, and your head is your spirit, your will, your emotions, etc. And if you are handcuffing your arms behind your back, then you are really putting yourself in a position where you're going to be really open to taking blows from all over, and you're not going to be able to defend yourself or to be in a strong position. So between, if you look at the three, the Lord has given us the tools to upregulate our emotions and put us in a very strong position through exercise, nutrition, and then the final one, which we're going to touch on today, is the fact that love, joy, and peace and particularly in the Lord, but also between yourself and your spouse or loved ones, produce the hormones, you know, dopamine, serotonin, the happy drugs, naturally, in order to upregulate you. So if we know that we have those three aspects at our disposal, then why aren't we using them, and why aren't we in a better position to go through our daily struggle and be victorious and overcoming? So it's your choice whether you're going to put one hand behind your back when you go into the fight, or two hands, and just take the blows that come your way.
How do we get both our hands in front of us to go into this battle of the mind and to overcome as well?
Yeah, you know, if I carry on with the same analogy, then your nutrition is absolutely key to fueling the machine of your body, and it's your choice what you eat and drink, and how you fuel your body. So, you know, are you trying to stick diesel in a petrol engine? Are you fueling your body for purpose? Do you know what your purpose is? And then on the exercise front, if you are not doing adequate cardio and strength training, and we're not talking about hours and hours worth, we're talking, you know, three or four half an hour sessions of each a week, which is nothing. We're talking about 4 hours of exercise, dedicated exercise, where you build up a bit of a sweat and put some effort into it on a weekly basis, you know, spread out over as many little bouts as you want to. If you're not doing that, then you are handicapping yourself, but you need to accept the responsibility that it's your fault that you are putting yourself at a disadvantage.
Alec, you mentioned tools, and one of those tools, or you mentioned three, but let's look at love, joy, and peace, starting with love being a tool.
Yeah, so, you know, the Bible is all about God's love for us, the fact that He has selected us, chosen us, and we need to accept His love. And then following on from that, we need to learn to love ourselves and nurture and cherish our bodies so that we can be in a position to love and serve others and bring glory to God in the process. That might sound like a lot of self-striving, but we need to appreciate that it is all through the grace of the Lord, and that there's nothing that we can do to earn our salvation or favor with the Lord, but that we try to improve ourselves and better ourselves to bring honor and glory to Him.
Alec, I like what you said. It's to love yourself so that you can glorify God. And I think that is the key over there, that we get fitter, we aim to look better, be healthier, not for our own gain, but to keep God at the center of it.
Yeah, there's a scripture that's, I haven't got it in front of me now, but there's a scripture that's often misquoted by Paul where he's comparing or he's talking about the self-discipline and the effort that athletes put themselves through in order to win a temporary crown of glory amongst men. And they use that scripture basically to say that, you know, it is not important to look after and train your body. But the rest of that same verse and the next verse say that we do it in order that we can attain an eternal crown, an eternal glory. So it doesn't say we don't try to self-master ourselves, and that we don't discipline ourselves, that we don't exercise, and that we don't train. He's saying we should be doing it. It's just that our motive for doing it is different. People miss out on that. So you're not let off the hook. You are supposed to be training, exercising, and making sure that your body, the temple, is holy and pure, and that we can bring glory to the Lord in all that we do.
Alec, joy. Joy, is that something that everybody should have? Is it developed? Is it a byproduct? What is joy really all about?
Well, if you look at joy from a definition point of view, they say it's a feeling of great pleasure, happiness, caused by something exceptionally good or satisfying. So, you know, from our side, our satisfaction and our joy and our fulfillment needs to come from our relationship with the Lord. And if that is the basis of it, we can see that, you know, I'll read a scripture for us out of Galatians 5:22. That the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the work which His presence within accomplishes, is love, joy, peace, patience, and even temper, forbearance, kindness, goodness, benevolence, faithfulness, meekness, humility, self-control, self-reliant, countenance. Against such things there is no law that can bring a charge. So joy is a natural byproduct of a person who has yielded their spirit to the Holy Spirit. We are called to be joy and light and bring peace to those around us.
Alec, you mentioned in Galatians 5, verse 22, the different fruits of the Spirit, and you mentioned peace. Now, we've spoken about love, we've spoken about joy. Peace also is one of the tools that we can use when it comes to this overcoming the battles that we face in our minds.
Yeah, so if we look at peace again, the definition there is freedom from disturbance, tranquility, a state or period in which there is no war or the war has ended. From a biblical definition, it is completeness, soundness, welfare, wholeness and total health, knowing that the Lord of the universe is by your side and resting in that. So you are at peace knowing that God is in control, and that ultimately at the end of the day that you are an heir, a co-heir, and in knowing who you are in Christ, you can have that peace that surpasses all understanding. And it's that place, from that place, that we derive our strength and our courage to go through our daily struggles and battles and challenges.
Alec, the last 2 weeks or so, we've been looking at Maslow and Hawken, which is a very humanistic way of seeing things. Now, obviously, it would be good to look at the biblical way of seeing things and enlightenment. Is enlightenment a biblical thing, or is it a humanistic way of looking at life?
Yeah, well, from a humanistic point of view, they're saying enlightenment is an enlightening or a state of being, emphasizing reason and individualism rather than tradition. So, you know, the worldview on enlightenment is placing reason above superstition, and they view religion as superstition, and science above faith. So, you know, from my side, I'm looking at it and saying that, you know, from a biblical perspective, the counterfeit, the closer the counterfeit is to the truth, the easier it is to be deceived. From a biblical point of view, enlightenment is all about helping your brother, not leading him astray, being freed from ignorance and misinformation. And then it's the illumination of the mind through the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. And it leads us to a place of joy and delight and peace. And it's just having that pleasure in God. That actually you are an eternal being. You are here on earth now, and you have to deal with the physical realities and the body, and that is, everybody's different. So, you know, we're different emotionally and spiritually, and we're different physically, and everybody's got this, the challenge that they need to work out for themselves in order to be able to grow into and be all that they were created to be.
Alec, what does 1 Peter 2 verse 9 say? Because I'm sure that also covers what we've just spoken about.
You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a dedicated nation, God's own, purchased special people, that you might set forth the wonderful deeds and display the virtues and perfections of Him who called you out of darkness and into His marvelous light. So again, there we're seeing that, you know, you're not doing the deeds and trying to live a virtuous life in order to earn your salvation. It is a gift, and a natural byproduct of that is that you want to do virtuous deeds and bring glory to the Lord. So, you know, there's a big contrast between the sort of humanistic approach of going through a stepwise 17 process.
More like efforts on your own.
Absolutely. It's all self-work, self-effort to get to the point of enlightenment. Whereas from a Christian point of view, it's really the opposite way around. The courage to repent of your sins, accept Jesus as your Savior, be filled with the Holy Spirit, and then you start growing into becoming and understanding that you're a son, a co-heir with Jesus. And once you start to acknowledge who you are, then you can live out this enlightenment in the full assurance that you are an eternal being, and that you've been tasked with good deeds and to bring heaven to earth. And we are ultimately to live a glorious, victorious life in God, and to glorify Him in all that we do. So, you know, the the attention that we are putting on to focus you on your natural body and healing yourself is definitely scriptural. It's spiritual, and it's an act of spiritual worship to look after your health and wellness through nutrition and exercise. But the focus is spiritual, and it's under the guidance of the Holy Spirit that you bring all these different competing and sometimes conflicting desires to glorify the Lord in all that we do. So again, we were saying that a few weeks ago, you know, stupidity is a lose-lose situation where something that you are doing is detrimental to yourself and to others around you. And wisdom is a win-win situation. So if you evaluate what you're doing, and there I'm talking about your exercise, your nutrition, you know, get really practical. If what you are doing is a win to yourself and a win to those around you, then keep doing it. And if it isn't, then you need to look at changing your habits.